In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This year, at the beginning of the semester at Blue Ridge Community College, where I've been teaching online now for some years, one of the books in the ethics course, the Introduction to Ethics course, had become generally unavailable. It's a very good book, but a few years old. The years pass by, you don't notice them as quickly once you're beyond a certain point yourself. Just seems like, well, that wasn't long ago. So I had to find a new book. And the book that I found was The Road to Character by David Brooks, a political commentator on television. Imagine such a book. This man grew up and is ethnically Jewish, is not formally a Christian, and believes that the things that he has written in his book are things that apply to all of us as human beings. And he is certainly correct. The founders of our republic believed the same. The understanding was that this was to be a republic of virtue. That's what it was called. Without virtue, no such republic can stand. Ancient Rome quickly became an empire. The values of the republic, the common values of a common humankind, of a mankind that understood that all of us are more like one another than like ourselves uniquely and individually, those values held the republic together, and they held our republic together, but they don't anymore. And David Brooks wrote this book in order to take a stand on behalf of ways of understanding our lives and ourselves that harken back to earlier generations. Not just earlier generations of Americans, but earlier generations of humankind. It is an amazing book to me because there are so many things in it that are deep insights generally only found in the writings of Orthodox Christian teachers, ascetics, monastics. It's curious. One, for example, and I was surprised when I found this, Brooks says, sin is communal, error is individual. Sins are not those things that I am responsible because I have done this terrible thing, and immediately the focus is upon ourselves. The enemy wants the focus on us. And we become a kind of tragic hero in our own mind. We pity ourselves for having fallen into this dark place. We live a kind of life as an anti-hero. We can go see lots of movies like that and relate to them. And they're all about us. But sin is not what makes us who we are. It is an error. The traditional terminology translating the Greek word for sin in the Septuagint used by the apostles is to miss the mark. Sin means to miss the mark. It is an error. It's an error because it's a departure from our humanity. It separates us from others. Yes, it makes us feel separate from others. But sin is a problem that we have in common. We fight sin together. We can't fight it in isolation because we're fighting ourselves. We end up fighting shadows within ourselves. We fight sin by fighting for others so that we can lessen the consequences of their sin. We struggle not to condemn others because that would force them to focus on themselves and their sin, their having missed the mark in some way, their error. We support others because when we see others sin, when we see them miss the mark, we see them doing something that we recognize that tragically we do ourselves when we depart from our true humanity, a true humanity that is fulfilled by the perfect humanity of Christ. Christ died for our sins, St. Paul says. It's our sins. Not the sins of each one of us individually, all added together, but the fact that we are in a condition where we all see unless we are blinded by the condemnation of others, that we participate in sin. Even though we love God, even though we turn from the fallenness of the world, still we find that we miss the mark. Because after all, the mark is the perfection of Christ. And we can only have it by sharing in his perfection. It can never be my perfection. But isn't that something? It can't be my perfection, but at the same time, it isn't my sin that defines me. It isn't the unique thing that makes me who I am. It is an error, a departure from what we share as human beings, created in the image and likeness of God, all of us. Those who took the lives of nearly 3,000 people on this day 15 years ago were not the representatives of some religion. They were people who had fallen into a delusion of hatred, paranoia, distrust, and fear. And they did what they did. And the enemy rejoiced. Their intention and his was to divide us. And on that day, I remember, even in my numbness, as this unimaginable event took place in all its horror, there was an anxiety in me for the aftershocks that would come, the tsunami of division between us, and suspicion, and paranoia, and hatred, and fear. And it all happened overnight, like a dream. I lived through the years of the Vietnam War, and I know paranoia when I see it. That distrust that split a people overnight, it had returned. And those who destroyed those towers and took those nearly 3,000 lives, they accomplished their purpose. And since then, things that had been holding together the best they could have slowly come further and further apart until we have reached this day, 15 years later, the tsunami, the aftershocks, the waves of paranoia and fear and distrust and division are still coming, still hitting our shores. So successful was this attack upon our virtue, the virtue without which we cannot be what we intend to be. St. John records the words of Jesus the Christ, that no one ascends to heaven who has not come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, Jesus the Christ. No man can ascend beyond the fallenness of this world, but the one who descended in order to make it possible for us to ascend. We cannot ascend from the fallen and sin-ridden condition of this world that plagues us, except along with him. He is our only means of ascent. Either we are one with him in our rejection, the hatred and fear of others, and our uniting of ourselves with him and through him, all of them and all of humanity, especially through those who intentionally know that we can only ascend through him and have united themselves to Christ and believe in him. What does that mean? It means that we do not need to be determined by the fact that we miss the mark. That in him, our humanity is fulfilled and united with the divinity of God. And by uniting ourselves to him, we can live in the world as the presence of true human beings created in the image and likeness of God. That is possible. We are not condemned to simply fight against sin, either within ourselves or in the world, alone, on our own, based on our own strength. The temptation to do that is a whispering of the enemy, and we will fail. Only by humility, by uniting ourselves to him, to his strength of wholeness, strength of wisdom, strength of the fullness of our perfect humanity at one with God, can we live as Christians, bearers of Christ? Today we are still within the time of the after feast, the post feast of the celebration of the nativity of the Theotokos, the one who bore God into the world. Our last feast of the end of the previous liturgical year. New liturgical year begins in September. The last feast of the old year was the feast of the falling asleep, the dormition of the Theotokos. The falling asleep, the death of the one who had given birth to God. We call it the dormition, the falling asleep. In the Western Roman Catholic Church and Anglican churches who are still part of their earlier way of religious life, that feast is called the Assumption. And the idea is that when the one who bore Christ into the world, the one within whose womb his human flesh was knit as the conception of this divine human person, when she died, she was taken up into heaven bodily, ascended, assumed, the feast of the Assumption. Our understanding is different. If you look at the icon of the dormition, the falling asleep of the Theotokos, you will see Christ standing on the other side of the bier, where the body of the Theotokos lays. He is standing there, and in his arms, he is holding a small, swaddled, you know, with swaddling clothes, as he himself was swaddled in the manger, a small figure in swaddling clothes. And if you look at the face, it is the face of the one who mothered him into the world. He is holding the Theotokos after she has passed through this life. Her life is hidden in Christ. Her soul is hidden in Christ. She does not remain bound by death. We affirm that. We hope not to be. But we say this of her. But it's only because of her oneness with him, and his oneness with her, and his oneness with our humanity, even our physical humanity, that we say that with the death of the one who brought Christ into the world, she does not simply return to the dust of the earth. She lives hidden in Christ. So it is only a falling asleep. She dies, but death is not the victor. It is so for all of us. That is our hope. That is our faith, because we are united to him. Bodily, physically, spiritually, all of those ways were made possible by the incarnation of the eternal Son of God through a human woman. And he does not leave our humanity behind. That's what that feast day is about. There is a oneness that we have with all other human beings that cannot be broken. We can, as individuals, err, miss the mark, and sin in a way that cuts us off in our own experience, feeling, and understanding. But even then, we are not absolutely cut off from the rest of humanity or God, because we are created in the image and likeness of God. We cannot lose the fact that we were created in the image of God. The worst human being, even those who flew those planes, were created in the image of God. They just were not in the likeness of God. They were living in the likeness of the enemy of God, sowing division, sowing hatred. Our lives are dramas of spiritual and moral struggle, not to be cut off from God, not to be cut off from the others, not to be the source of division, but rather the source of reunion and oneness with Christ God through him. That is our calling. we celebrate an intimacy with God, not celebrated virtually anywhere else. When we say on Saturday evenings after the end of the Vespers, "Most Holy Theotokos, save us," we are affirming the intimacy of our oneness with God. We're not singling her out. We're including ourselves in the life that Christ brought into the world through her, physically, bodily. He destroyed the power of death on the cross and arose physically, bodily. We are physically and bodily those human beings who belong at one with him. The world is not our master. We can turn away from the world and unite ourselves to Christ and through him to all other human beings as human beings, and be the ones who are the intercessors through Christ and through the Theotokos and through all of the saints who have united themselves to him. We can be the living intercessors for the sake of others, the ones who intercede for the sake of peace, not by worldly means, but by rejecting the lies of the enemy, rejecting his fear, his paranoia, his temptation to divide us, as though there are classes of human beings that are not human. All wars begin with reducing the other side to some condition below the human. God help us, we even see it in our politics today. Is there anything left for us to appeal to in terms of the virtue of a human people? And so let us not be deluded. Let us not be filled with fear and hatred and division, and always reading the worst possible interpretation into the actions of anyone that we come across. Let us show that we can recover from this horrible act against our souls, because we stand at one with Christ and the fact that he has destroyed the power of death to divide us and confuse us and to reduce us to something no more than what is apparent in the constant conflict and pettiness of this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.